everybody. Welcome to Drive Through HR. Brian, Nisha, and William coming to you live every day, talking about HR with the people that make HR happen. So I hope that hope everybody is having a wonderful Wednesday. I know that I am. This could be the best day ever in history for me. That was my goal. So I set the bar high, right? We'll talk about that here in just a few minutes. So, Nisha, how is the wonderful world in Dallas, Texas today?
It's pretty cool outside, so taking any walk today morning. So normally I go out and then take a walk to the morning outside, but then today I was like, no, I'm not getting that mood. But I'm pretty much, I work pretty much early and then I'm pretty motivated to do all those stuff. I'm pretty excited to talk to our guest today.
Well, and she absolutely one of my favorites, probably some of the best energy that I know in the space. So let's get to it. Liz Pellett, welcome back to Drive Through HR.
Thank you. So glad to be back. As always, fun time, fun half hour for sure.
Oh my gosh, yeah. We it's truly some of my favorite shows is, and then the shows don't even compliment the fact when I get to cross paths with you in person. I just soak it all in, selfishly, of course. It's a fun conversation. So if you would, let's kick it off and introduce yourself to our millions of listeners, and from there we'll roll into what's top of mind in your world.
All right. Well, hi, everybody. My name is Pellett. And I've determined I'm a serial entrepreneur. I've had a HR consulting business for organizational culture and employment branding. I had that for about 16 years, and then that got acquired by a wonderful, wonderful company, Felix Global, up in Toronto. And about a year into it, we are still collaborating, but I've started another business. So what is up today and top of mind? I'll tell you a couple of funny stories. How's that? And then we'll talk about this whole idea of entrepreneur, serial entrepreneur. I was asked to do an article for Advance Magazine, and it's about a 1,000-word piece on applicant tracking systems and what should we be looking at, what are some of the watch-outs. And I decided to take a really different approach to the whole article. So normally I would do the research. I might reach out to my friends at iSIMS or Halogen or People Assistant and talk to them about their ATS. But I decided I'm going to go apply for jobs. I mean, think about it, right? I've been an entrepreneur over 18 years. I haven't applied for a job in 18 years, even though I know a lot about the technology and the tools in the recruiting space. So I went ahead and I applied for about 5 jobs that I actually thought I was qualified for. And Brian, I was absolutely appalled by the candidate experience for some major companies out here in California. I don't know, Brian, if you've applied for a job, or Nisha, if you've applied for a job, but I'm sure some of our listeners out there have. And I'm just going to tell you a couple of them that just blew me away.
Please.
The first one was for a college system, big college system out here, and I applied. And within 3 minutes, I got the auto email back that says, thank you very much, but your qualifications don't match. But it's 3 minutes. So tell me what speed reader from Dale Carnegie or wherever looked at my resume and was able to determine that I wasn't qualified. Any thoughts on that?
Yeah, you're hitting into a fairly spirited area, let me put it that way, of frustration for me personally, because I've got a really good friend who's going through the process now, who is absolutely amazing, amazing background, advanced degree from 2 of the top 10 colleges in the country, great Fortune 500 experience, but has been out of the workforce for about 7 years doing volunteering and writing and just doing things, investing in a company, right? Right. This is a person that has confidence in like 10 different software packages, design, you name it. I mean, this is like heavy duty and has, you can look at the resume. If we sat down, you could look at the resume and go, wow, amazing experience, the ability to learn anything, but just hasn't been involved, you know, in the last, you know, again, 7 years, and you can see why, with the volunteering and just the investing and things like that, but wants to get back into the workforce, exactly the same experience, right? And even with me making some introductions and other introductions happening, it's like, well, you got to go through the process, and then it gets dropped into the most ass-backward talent acquisition recruiting process that I've ever seen. I mean, it's the laziest, lazy, that's the word. It's the laziest process I've ever seen.
I have to agree with you. So I got the feeling that 3-minute bounce, nobody really took the time to read my resume. I just obviously didn't have the keywords in the right space. Applied for another one with a very large healthcare system. To get through the ATS, to get through the process of the application took me 25 minutes, and I must have had one field wrong, because every time I hit it, I got bounced back. But it never told me what field it was. So after 25 minutes, I said, forget it, man. I mean, candidates, they must be just so frustrated with this process. But I did get through a couple of them, and I actually got real live recruiters to call me back, talent acquisition professionals. And I'll just give you an example of one that's supposed to be a very, very happy, happy place on earth to work. I got a phone interview, did a 30-minute interview. At the end of the interview, talked about anything else that might be available to me. There were a bunch of other jobs. I guess they own a lot of business lines, but they're not connected. There's not a lot of connectivity. So they operate all these different business lines in silos. That's a whole other story. At the end of the interview, she says, well, look, I'm going to send your resume to my counterparts at the other places, the other businesses, but if you haven't heard from us in 2 weeks, you're not going to be called for an interview. And I said to her, wait, before you dump me off the phone, you're really telling me, a candidate, that if I don't call me, I'll call you. Don't call you, I'll call me. I mean, I just was, again, absolutely amazed. I got off the phone and I thought, wow, the candidate experience today, I believe, because of the automation, has really, really shifted. So that's my quick story about my experience with ATS. And the reason why I even brought it up, because I wrote this article for Advance Magazine, and I just want to say to the listeners out there, even if you're not in a talent acquisition role, just if you're in HR in your own company, apply for a job at least every 3 months with your company so that you can have a metric, a real measurement, an experience of what candidates are doing and how they're feeling and how the process really flows. I really, really strongly urge that. So that's my story. I'm sticking to it.
Right? Yeah, I love it. That's, you know, that's, just again, it's one of those things that's, you know, and I was even getting a little bit, I don't know, worn out, I guess, on the candidate experience, because I kind of give it up. It's like, you know, 6 months ago, candidate experience, it sucks, and then I had this personal interaction with somebody who just got really frustrated, and I could just tell they just were at the point that this is like so inefficient and such a waste of time. So I got to live through their frustration a little bit. And then got involved, got re-engaged, and got involved back with the candidate, the Candies, with Jared Crispin and Elaine Oyland and those guys, and Ed Newman around with the Candidate Experience Awards and really what they're trying to do. So I definitely have been reignited around how jacked up that is, and the technology, you know, kind of the technology has made it easy to hide behind the process. So I'm throwing a challenge out. The reason I'm saying that, I'm tweeting out a challenge to all CEOs: go through your process and see how much it really does suck, and see. And then at that point, you can say, okay, if the business decision is I'm not going to do anything about it, or you're going to be appalled, and you might actually do something about it. So go through your hiring process, go through your recruiting process, and then you'll figure out why you have you have gaps in your talent acquisition process. So.
Yeah, I would agree. So after this experience that I had, you know, I started really reflecting back, and you would think the serial entrepreneur in me then would start reaching out to talent acquisition professionals saying, wow, you know what, I went through your process, and I'd like to come in and consult on my experience. And, you know, for the last at least very tight 5 years, I've been doing all the conference speaking and the writing, and what do I speak about? I speak to talent acquisition on how to use social media to recruit, how to use the social channels. And I decided after this experience, serial entrepreneur, I'm going to start a business, but it's not for them. It's not for them because I'm tired of talking in that direction. I want to make it for the individual, whether they're a job seeker or just a professional who understands that they need a social presence, right? You have to have some kind of social presence in today's environment, especially if you're looking for a job. I can't tell you how many LinkedIn profiles I have looked at that are really, really bad. I mean, really bad. And even if your profile is fully populated, it might not be kind of expressing the personal brand that you want it to. So that's what I'm up to these days. I've turned it around, made it a social presence coaching business just for individuals and very small businesses with under 100 people. And we'll see where it goes. And I understand you're on an entrepreneurial adventure yourself.
Yeah. We, so this week, about 6 months ago, thank you so much for asking. I'm really excited. Again, you did this several times, and, you know, I love the direction you're going and the reason behind it. Actually, some of the, you know, the kind of the genesis for it. I mean, great story. And you obviously have always been trying to make an impact with organizations. That's when I think about people, I think about you when I hear that. So please continue on with that. It's pretty inspiring, personally for me. So 6 months ago, kicked off a little venture, been very entrepreneurial, had, you know, several little companies over the years, technology and service companies. So 6 months ago, kicked off with a partner, Sevoke, which is a boutique speaker agency. So, you know, you did a bunch of speaking, obviously, over the years, and you've been around speakers, and you've listened to speakers, and, you know, myself and a partner, just same thing, and we decided that there's a bigger and a better way that we feel that all these audiences can get a return on their time and their, you know, the emotional investment of sitting there and not taking anything away from a speaker. So we decided that let's find speakers and let's match them up with the audiences. And we went out and we've got 7 speakers now that we represent. And as of this week, this isn't a side venture anymore. This is what I do. So Sevoke is the name of the company. And it comes from collaboration, creativity, and, you know, basically commitment to evoking some kind of emotion or impact in people's lives. That's where Sevoke kind of came out of. So,
I think that's wonderful, because I'm sure everyone listening to your show has gone to some kind of conference and not had the best experience with 100% of the speakers that they've, you know, gone to see over the 1 or 2 or 3 day event. And that's always, I think, a drag. It's one of the reasons why I don't hang out a lot at the conferences. I love to present, and I will cherry pick a couple presenters. And I always feel bad when I'm walking down the hallway and there's rooms with, you know, only like 8 or 6 people, or people are walking out. And so I think it's a great service that you're offering, and it sounds that you're very passionate about it, as well as picky. And I think picky is a good thing to be, again, with so much technology and so many people in the space, you know, really whittling it down for folks and providing them with passionate people, you know, who are not going to give them death by PowerPoint is a really good thing. I want to talk about another entrepreneur.
Please.
Who really inspired – oh, sorry –
No, go. Yeah, no, please. I another entrepreneur, we're good there. I can't wait to hear, actually.
Okay. Actually, I just connected her with William to be on HR Drive Group, because this woman really actually inspired me to start this coaching practice, because I would have never thought to put, you know, my name in the company. I just haven't done it before. But her name is Dora Sims, and her company, and she says, I'm Dora Sims, the succession consultant, all right? Mm-hmm. So, you know, I always think, gosh, when people use their name, I was advised early on, don't use your name. You can't tell a company if it's your name. Don't pigeonhole yourself, like succession planning. Don't pigeonhole yourself, like social presence coaching. But obviously, I've heard that advice enough, and I'm not going to take it anymore. Because Doris not only has a great succession planning coaching business, but she pulls off this conference every year. And so we had met out here at the California Sherm. We were both speakers. And after my session, she asked me to speak at her conference. Because it's small, Liz. You know, it's only like 30, 40 people. It's intimate. It's a two-day event. And it really focuses on people sharing ideas. So I said, sure, I'll speak. And, you know, I'll close the show for you, but I'd like to attend the 2 days. And I was absolutely blown away with the quality of people that she was able to get. And we're talking the heads of OD and HR, you know, aerospace companies, big oil, big box retailers. And I just was inspired by being in the room with these thought leaders. And I'm thinking to myself while I'm sitting there, how come this doesn't happen at conferences, at big conferences? Why doesn't something like this? Then I thought back and I thought, well, maybe because big conferences are big and intimate conferences are just that, intimate. But again, she fired up that whole idea of the entrepreneurial spirit that lives on in so many people. I'll tell you another funny story about being a consultant. I was coaching someone on their LinkedIn profile. We started talking about dates and gaps. And I said, you know, this person said to me, a friend of mine said I should just put in that I was a consultant. So I was looking for a job for 13 months, 15 months, and I didn't want to, you know, see that big a gap. So just put in that you were a consultant. So you can do that, you know, if you want that. You're really not representing the truth. And the problem with that is any good recruiter is going to ask you where you consulted to, what you consulted about, and a couple of references that you did consulting for. So I said, you really just can't fill in the gap. Now, I don't know if you've experienced this, but I've looked at some LinkedIn profiles that I just can't believe professionals, even in our business, HR professionals, who've got, you know, 162 connections. I just ran across a big healthcare system nurse recruiter, 89 connections. I'm thinking, obviously, they're not using social in their work, right? And do you ever run across this stuff, Brian?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Absolutely. I mean, you know, that's the part that fascinates me on probably as much talent acquisition as corporate recruiting is there's, I mean, I don't know how exactly in this day and age that you're not embracing that. It's just literally, there was a head of talent acquisition, and for a fairly big company, we're probably talking, not huge, but like 2,500 employees, right? That's still fairly significant. And they literally had, like you said, less than 100 people connected, and I started going through kind of just taking a look at it because I was able to connect up with them and then looked at some of the recruiting folks, and it was apparent, speed of the leader, speed of the pack, right? All of the recruiting structure, the people that were in the recruiting process also did not have a big LinkedIn presence, much less a Twitter presence, much less none of the social component had been embraced. And that to me is just, I just am shocked at how uncompetitive that, you know, day to day you're gonna let yourself be. Because in this day and age, I mean, let's be honest, you are not going to be competitive unless you have a social, you know, unless you have dialed into the social grid or have some kind of social footprint. It's impossible.
You're spot on. And again, you know, in one of my coaching sessions, I had someone say, you know, I'm between a millennial and a boomer. And I just don't understand why we have to use these tools. you know, to find the job. I'm all about relationships. You know, back in the day, it was build a relationship. And then if you were out of work and you were looking, you could just tap into the people you know who you have relationships with. But she said, if I build this huge social presence or build out my LinkedIn profile to 500 plus, I don't have relationships with these people. And I said, let's break the paradigm, okay? Don't talk about relationships anymore, because what it has moved into, I mean, you're going to have relationships with a few people that are in your network, of course, but it really more is around social interaction. And that's where we're going, because we can reach so many people so quickly with the technology that we have, and these tools are free. I was reading an article the other day that said that LinkedIn has already hit, you know, 200 million members. So they're big. They've got it going on. Obviously, it's the biggest professional network out there. And they make $300 million for a free solution. How does a company make $300 million for a free solution? So they've been able to monetize some of their offerings. So I think it was like premium subscription was about 59, 60 million. Their talent management solution that they sell to recruiters is over 150. Now, I don't know if you've noticed it, but they're starting all this marketing solution. I just got an email today, you know, free advertising, $50 worth of free advertising. You know, use this coupon code. But now they're going into the marketing. And they're not going to go away. LinkedIn is not going to go away. We'll see a different, you know, social come up. You know Shally Sackville, Brian?
Mm-hmm.
You know Shally?
Yeah, yep.
That's, I mean,
I know,
okay.
Yep.
Well, Shally was brilliant when I first started out looking at all this stuff 5 years ago. I said, okay, Shally, give me the lowdown, really. What is the difference between Twitter, Facebook, LinkedIn? She said, take Twitter and LinkedIn and look at it like this. Twitter's like a county fair, right? Everybody goes to a county fair for different reasons. They're the parents who are bringing the little kids to the petting zoo. There's the high school boys that are there just for fair food. There's first, you know, people's first date on the Ferris wheel. Everybody goes to a county fair for different reasons. So you never know who's there. Now, they have introduced some tools where you can start, you know, using the Twitter, using people who are on Twitter and following them and getting more factual information than just a county fair. I want to be fair to Twitter. But he said, look at LinkedIn like it's a business lunch. So we're all going to go to this business lunch. You don't know what table you're going to sit down in, think groups. But you know, and you're not really sure 100% of what you're going to hear. You understand the topic. You understand why we're here. But see, everybody's there for a very similar purpose. I think that's what differentiates LinkedIn from any of these other social tools. So it's becoming protocol that you have a very strong, as either all-star or expert, LinkedIn profile. And a lot of people aren't getting it. You know, they're shying away from it because they don't know how to use it. They don't know how to get started. They don't agree with it. I'm about relationships, not social. But that's really one area that our HR community. Now, there are people out there, Lori Ruderman, and, you know, some real movers and shakers who have been using this stuff and blogging forever and, you know, Cheeseman. They've got their hands all over this, and they're teaching and speaking, which I think is great. But we really need to get a...
I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No, go you. Please feel free.
Yeah, that's a very good insight. And this reminds me to ask a controversial, you know, subject of LinkedIn. I believe I read this at businessinsider.com. The people think that LinkedIn endorsement will be turned by the end of the year. What's your take on that?
Could you say that one more time? You cut out for, you know, internet radio. Just try a little clearer because I didn't get the question.
Oh, yeah. The LinkedIn endorsement. I read about this at businessinsider.com saying LinkedIn endorsements will be dead by the end of the year. What's your take on that?
LinkedIn endorsements. Okay, there's two different things on LinkedIn. The endorsements are new, and they've been auto-populated by LinkedIn. That's another reason why you have to go through these profiles with a fine-tooth comb, make sure you're saying what you need to say. And it is predicted, and I'm going to go, I have to agree with it, that they're going to figure out how to monetize those skills and experience at some point. But it's a very, very important part of the profile. Just like recommendations were, you know, 5 years ago, right? I've been on LinkedIn since, I don't know, 8 years or something. When we started, what we noticed was we really said we got to get recommendations. If you're not getting recommendations from people and you're not recommending people, then what's really our profile? It's just this little blurb about, you know, who we are and what we do. And now this new skills and experience is going to get very, very important. So it's one of the it's a key area in the social presence coaching that we're explaining to people how to really build that, and not to build it in just endorse anybody, because that could come back to bite you, believe me. but how to do it and how to build the endorsement. So I hope that answers the question.
Yeah, Nisha, great, absolutely great question, because that one is like hanging out there, and I think it's top of mind for a lot of people because it's so in your face on a daily basis. I mean, because I'm, you know, like everybody on the phone, I mean, I'm in LinkedIn multiple times a day all day long because there's just so much information that as I talk to people or I have an interest in somebody or there's a company that comes up in conversation, I jump right to LinkedIn, right? It's my BI tool that I use all the time. And so that stuff's right in front of me, right? And I'm like, damn it, quit shoving that in front of me. I don't want to put skills and stuff at this moment. So, I mean, I'm maxing out of it. I rarely do that. So.
No, I understand. I know we're running out of time. But I do want to say, you know, that it is a very important area of your profile. There's a lot of extremely important areas that I don't think people realize and recognize that get the recruiter's attention or even places them in a position to get seen by a recruiter, even if they're a passive candidate. A lot of people are making mistakes and putting information in places that it doesn't necessarily belong. And anyone on the show, if you'd like to connect with me, please, it's LinkedIn Liz Pellet, LizzPellet. So I think it's one of the greatest tools, Brian. To your point, I'm on it probably 5-6 times a day. And here's my advice to anyone out there who, I hate to make money for LinkedIn, believe me, I'm not an equity partner. But if you don't have the premier version as a job seeker, I'm just going to say this, then you can't view who's viewed your profile. And if you're not using who viewed your profile in a certain way, you're going to miss a lot of opportunity that comes in a job search. So that's my last piece of advice.
Well, that's a fantastic takeaway. I am so excited for your new venture and kind of the new chapter. It's again, you're a huge inspiration. Love talking to you. It always makes me, it takes me a bunch of different directions that I need to think about things. And so that I greatly appreciate and can't wait to see kind of what the future holds for everybody. And so we got about 25 seconds. What any final thought, any bit of wisdom and or humor you want to leave us on?
Nope. Okay. I hope some of the nuggets and some takeaways really do help people, because I'm a firm believer and we've got to help each other to get by. So thanks very much for having me on again. I really appreciate it.
Liz, it's been an absolute pleasure. We'll get you on again before the end of the year. Everybody, Nisha, William, have a fantastic Wednesday. We are out of here. Some cats, they know how.